This JS Online and PackersNews.com Packers podcast is brought to you by Potawatomi Bingo. Get on island time to win a Caribbean cruise of Potawatomi Thursdays in October and November. More at paysbig.com/islandtime. Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Packers podcast. I am one of your hosts, Tom Silverstein, and I'm here with Jim Osarski, the other host of this podcast. We are going to rename it Two Tired Guys because we are two tired guys. So, Jim, I dropped you off at our hotel at, what, 3?
Yeah, it was, 3 I think, 3. Yeah, I think it was 3 Eastern.
And you left right away for the airport, right?
I did. Of course, that's prime shut down the road construction
yes,
time,
of course,
which
of course.
We discovered, unfortunately. So, yeah, I got to Logan 4 o'clock-ish, therefore, you know, pack up and go and travel and then wait for TSA.
Yeah.
Cut it close. But we made it, just for you listeners.
Yeah, and was it better for me to get 2 hours of sleep than you did not get any? Or do you think it was, I wonder if it was worse, because I'm not feeling that great right now.
It must be worse, because I actually feel a little better.
Really?
Because I hit it hard on the plane. I mean, I was out.
Yeah.
You know, and that was 2 hours, and then a brief transfer, because I'm not like you, I'm a plebe. I don't get direct flights anymore. So I had a brief transfer in Chicago.
Yeah.
But, you know, that hour did me good, and, you know, I'm all right now.
Good. I fell asleep with the coffee in my hand, and when I woke up, it was in my hand. So I never lost grip of
the
coffee.
That's impressive.
Yeah, and it had cooled to the perfect temperature by the time we landed.
Wow.
So, yeah. I was pretty impressed.
That's one of those like mundane sports achievements that I think you should be proud of.
Thanks. Yeah. I am kind of proud of it, and I will continue to put it on my resume. So, speaking of sleepwalking,
yeah,
we have a 3-4-1 team that we're covering now, following a 31-17 defeat to the New England Patriots on Sunday night. And what strikes me about this game is that it wasn't that the Packers played horrendously. It wasn't that the Patriots just played out of their minds. It's that the Packers played to lose, or just enough to lose, you know? I mean, they were never, I never really thought they were in command of the game. I thought New England had it, despite all the advantages the Packers had going into this game. I just never got the sense that they were going to win it. Did you?
No. But I think, to your point, though, I think the Patriots played to win.
Yes.
I mean, I you don't pull out 2 flea flickers.
Nope.
You don't go for it on fourth down, eschewing a safe 3 points with one of the three, you know, one of the best field goal kickers in the league. I mean, they were aggressive. They played to win the game. That's what – it sounds so cliche,
mm-hmm.
but too often teams do not do such things.
Yes.
And I, you know, I hearken it back a little bit to Belichick's point of view when facing a quarterback. You know, he threw so many roses at the feet of Aaron Rodgers in the week leading up, and then even in the post game. And in the past, you know, against Peyton Manning, for instance, the Patriots would go for it on fourth down at midfield or
yeah,
on their own side.
Right.
I mean, they wanted to push the envelope, and they did that.
Yeah.
Hey, look, two flea flickers gave them, what, 2 scores and huge yards, you know. So credit to them. And again, Tom, to your point, I don't think the Packers really – did much of that offensively or defensively. You know, you wonder, could they have scored a touchdown if Aaron Jones doesn't fumble, because at that point, that would have been two out of three drives mm-hmm. where they march down the field. But that's just one turnover. I mean,
but you know, so I look at it, and I'll get back to your point, which is an excellent one about New England. But you know, New England didn't score on the 1 yard line, and the Packers fumbled away a chance. So there's two opportunities. Each team had one opportunity they should have scored. All things being even, you know, equal, I think those are a pretty good swap. Now, to your point, I talked to Tremont Williams after the game. He just had the best quote. You know, he said the Patriots left nothing in their tank. He said they just emptied their tank. And I completely agree with that. I mean, here's a team that's down its running back, down its star tight end. Sony Michel's the running back. Rob Gronkowski's the tight end. They're down their right guard, yeah. Shaq Mason, probably their best offensive lineman, and his backup. And they're starting a third-string guard. And here they are. You know, they come out in the fast pace. I mean, super quick.
It's very fast.
Tempo. As you said, they did the flea flickers. Their defense, I thought their game plan was phenomenal. They just kept Rodgers off balance the whole time. So, yeah, there was one team that really wanted to win this game and one team that was like, well, you know, we'll save our stuff for later.
Yeah. When?
When's later? Yeah, exactly.
It's, and I, you know, you and I disagreed on this podcast a week ago where I thought, I did, I thought that there would be an offensive buildup out of L.A.
No, I did
that the
too.
Quarterback would play his best game, and he practiced on Wednesday. He shed the knee brace. Mm-hmm. I mean, sort of all the little kind of markers you thought, and he didn't play his best game.
No. And you know, there's this debate going on in the sphere, you know, that we don't really run in. I mean, we're so close to this. But the debate is it because McCarthy's system is holding back Rodgers, or it's because Rodgers is not playing very well and it's holding back the system?
And at worst, it's both.
Yeah, and that's the worst thing that could be happening. I'm not going to be a Rodgers apologist. I'm calling it like I see it, and I think he's just as guilty as McCarthy is, and I'm not going to leave McCarthy off the hook, too. I mean, he's running this offense that requires you to win matchups, and they're not winning matchups with Jimmy Graham. He can't beat anybody off the ball. Valdez-Scantling's still a rookie. Randall Cobb can't beat anybody.
No, that was he was an interesting focal point early.
Yeah.
Some of this stuff is strange too. I mean, Randall Cobb one on one deep, Lance Kendricks one on one.
Yeah.
In the end zone, you know, Jimmy Graham was rotated out on a lot of key possessions late. Those aren't winning players anymore in their career.
Yeah, and somehow they have to get. So they have three guys with special skills, in my opinion, besides Rodgers. They have Davante Adams, Aaron Jones, and Valdez-Scantling. I mean, I don't think you can.
He's taken big leaps.
Yeah, he has. Now, he's still a rookie, and he's not going to get open all the time. But he's still, I mean, he has a darn effective game. Three catches for 101 yards, you know? So, okay, there's three guys. How do you maximize their output? And that's where I don't, I don't know if that's on McCarthy or if that's on Rodgers.
Yeah, it's, and I guess we won't know until this is all said and done, and other things need to be said when it's done. Mm-hmm. Late in January, I hate to say it that way. So, and that's the thing is, you know, what I'm curious about is, okay, this is 8 weeks into the season. There isn't going to be an offensive overhaul, you know, and I mean, maybe you can add certain plays or new plays or look around the league and try to practice. But the Packers don't practice that often. It's just a little bit on Wednesday and Thursday. I mean, how do you install? How do you? How, I mean, what? Or, but in the West Coast offense, I guess, in that big old playbook, do you go digging in the crates and find a matchup?
Yeah, you're not. I don't think you're going to change the offense, but I do think I think it's built in there that you can scheme ways to get guys open, and that's what you're going to have to do. I just don't think they're talented enough to win the way McCarthy wants to win, which is exploiting matchups. Not unless they just focus on getting the ball to those three guys. And I don't think they have anyone special. Now, news today, breaking news on Monday, I mean, is that Geronimo Allison's going to need surgery for a core muscle injury. And Geronimo Allison isn't a superstar, but he's another guy you would focus on winning matchups. And now he's gone. So
yeah, I mean, you go back to the last time this offense looked like a above average offense. That was the final 30 minutes way back in week one. John Wilson was a part of that.
Yeah.
And he's been out since Buffalo, since the concussion. That's a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, he kind of came
played
back for
a
few snaps. Yeah. But I wouldn't call that a, you know, he was running full speed or a big part of the game plan at that point. I mean, after missing a few weeks. So maybe Valdez-Scantling's emergence makes that a wash to a degree, but you're still. But what that does, though, Tom, you know, maybe if Allison was healthy, Valdez-Scantling replaces Randall Cobb in some spots.
Yeah.
And maybe that's now where your broader. Okay, how do you fix this? How do you get this offense moving?
Right.
It takes a little bit of a hit because you got some much needed and maybe unexpected growth out of the rookie.
Yeah, and he's going to continue to grow, but you're running out of time, and you know, I just looking at them now, I don't see how they could win at Seattle and at Minnesota. I thought if they put together a good game against New England, that maybe they could. But I don't see it right now.
Defensively, Tom, I'm curious, and I know you were a little less than impressed with Mike Pettine's volley or lack thereof to Josh McDaniels Sunday. You know, they hit him with that real fast no huddle, and I think tried to exploit some matchups. I think, you know, one of the trick plays. Tyler Lancaster, Montrevious Adams were on the field. I mean, they were moving fast for a reason.
Yeah.
That said, up until the final touchdown, I think the defense has given them an opportunity to win on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess when you've invested $94 million into an offense that has, you know, four linemen that are top 10 paid at their position, six Pro Bowlers, at various points. I understand the tight ends aren't those guys anymore, but, you know, it's more of an off. Isn't it more of an offensive issue?
Yeah. Now, here's my issue about the defense on the Patriots game and Pettine. I'm like, here's your chance to fire up your defense and come at the Patriots and be the aggressor. Find a way to get after them before they get after you. And right from the start, McDaniel just had this plan of hurrying up, and they never recovered from that on that drive. You know, I don't know if they needed to call a timeout and regroup.
I was just about to ask that. Do you think that was, you know, for all the other issues of timeouts being burned, coming out of a change of possession, and that's whatever. But was that one where it was maybe a missed moment there?
Maybe.
Of,
I'm not sure how much adjustment you can make out of a timeout. You know, a timeout lasts, what, a minute or something like that?
Even if it's a 30-second, just to, okay, wait a minute, they just ran five plays in 30 seconds here. We need to
start,
take a break.
Yeah.
Take a breath.
Right. I think that would have been important, you know, if they could have held New England to a field goal. But I'm also like, they never did anything to regain that advantage. You know, it's a adjustment game, especially with New England. You know, they're constantly adjusting to what you're doing, and so you have to adjust to what they're doing. And I know, yeah, they lost Kevin King at some point, but and then Kentrell Bryce, and then Whitehead was dumb and got ejected. But I just thought that they needed to find a way to be more aggressive with New England's receivers and make Brady hold the ball, and I don't think they ever did.
Yeah, and what a tough game for Bashaud Breeland to be matched up one-on-one with Josh Gordon at time. I mean, they picked on him.
Yeah.
And I thought Jair Alexander, you know, Mike Pettine, we asked Mike Pettine about traveling a corner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he thought, ideally, you know, that's not a thing you want to do because that's just added. And maybe this is to your point, Tom, of not adjusting when clearly they were looking for 26.
Yeah.
You know, he's rusty. He hasn't played. He's not the fastest guy, but he's a physical guy.
Right.
You know, is that one of those things where you put Alexander on the top target, Josh Gordon, and use Breeland's physicality?
Mm-hmm.
On a, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the answer would have been. Maybe that's not the right answer, but I think it's the broader point of trying something.
Yeah.
Even if King goes out.
My answer would have been to move Breeland to safety and then alternate him. I think the move of Tremont Williams to safety was a mistake. I think you weakened two positions. You, one, took their best cornerback, really most consistent cornerback, and you took him out of coverage. And then you put him in the deep backfield, and it's clear he doesn't have the safety's mentality. You know, the Josh Gordon play, you know, where he just didn't take the right angle. He's got to make that tackle. Your safety has to make that tackle.
Right.
On the goal line, you know, he got blasted on one of those touchdown runs by Cordarrelle Patterson. I'm always one of those people who thinks, and I thought it was a good idea to put Tremont Williams back there, but then while I'm watching it, I'm going, okay, you just, like I said, you weakened two positions by making that move. If you're going to weaken a position, then weaken the safety and at least have Tremont Williams up there guarding Josh Gordon. Or
interesting. Yeah, I see, it's funny, Tom, because it's I thought Williams being back there helped on the one deep ball
yes,
early.
Yes, it did. Yeah,
because he actually helped them to double coverage.
Yep.
And there were a couple red zone plays that led to one that led to a field goal, where Williams actually shaded over to Josh Gordon. That was the read, and Williams moved, and Tom Brady had to check it down.
Mm-hmm.
And then also later, again, same thing. Josh Jackson probably should have had an interception when Tom Brady threw it right in his chest.
Oh, yeah.
There was Chris Hogan was the read for Brady as he rolled it, and Williams dropped, forcing Hogan to angle up and leading to that incompletion. And maybe that was but again, so I named a couple plays I thought Williams was good at safety, and you had a few that he wasn't. And maybe is it too hard then when you have injuries to say, to switch a guy You know what I mean? That these Packers coaches talk about all the time. Oh, they're trained at all these positions. I mean, maybe Tremont was the call at safety early, but maybe needed to move there late. I don't know.
I think they have to rethink it, in my opinion. Maybe they feel like Breland will play better next week. But I just, to me, cornerbacks are the most important players on the field. And now that Kevin King is hurt and probably not going to play this week, I think you got to go back. You got to consider putting Tremont Williams back there and maybe start working Breland there, you know, against a Miami team whose quarterback's not going to absolutely tear you apart,
right.
You would hope. Brock
right,
Osweiler.
Yeah. Or is that a good opportunity to see if Josh Jones is
– right. Or,
I mean, he made a good tackle and run support at the goal line. Another unbelievable offsides penalty on the kickoff.
Yeah.
And he was kind of caught in space. I mean, he was another guy that was, you know, in some of those coverages a little
– yeah. I wonder if you just – he's good at the line of scrimmage because he can tackle. I don't know if you can just put him back deep and
Can you swap him with Whitehead? Can Whitehead go deep and we have Josh Jones play
that
dime linebacker?
Yes. I think they need to do that. The question is he versatile enough to do all the things that Whitehead does? You know, is he able to go and slap a guy in the face, you know, and get kicked out of a
Unbelievable.
Game?
Unbelievable.
I couldn't help myself on that one. I don't know, but I think they're going to have to change my mind about Tremont Williams. And now Kentrell Bryce is a question mark because he's hurt his ankle.
And a knee.
And a knee?
Yeah,
did they call it a knee?
Yeah, that was I believe so. That was the ankle was retaped against, and I believe it was a knee that that was determined, yeah.
Because I saw him limp off the field, and it was his right leg. His left ankle is the one that he had surgery on and has
and
been bothering
him. Yeah, that was retaped. I think he had both going on. Yeah.
Yes. So, I mean, I don't know how good he's going to be even if he's ready this week.
And you got Raven Green, an undrafted rookie.
Time to play him.
Yeah.
Throw him out there. You got nothing to lose, man.
Honestly, look, if you're gonna try stuff, Brock Osweiler's the guy. That guy, he sucks, Tom.
Yeah, I know.
I'll say it.
I've
said it.
I know.
It's I won't hide. It's not good.
Is there a chance? Oh, we'll have to find out. Is there a chance Tannehill comes back this week?
I think there is a chance. He's been working his way back. I think it's one of those things Adam Gase has been sort of making those announcements midweekish, it seems like. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that is something to watch. But he hasn't played. But now, you know, that's also an average quarterback that hasn't played.
Yeah. Okay. Do we need to get on Ron Zook? I'm starting to think we do. I'm always reluctant. You know, the fans always want the special teams guy fired,
right.
You know, immediately. And the truth of the matter is these days coaching, there's a few special teams coaches that are really good. And for whatever reason, they're great teachers, and even young guys play well. But most teams have young guys playing special teams, and guys screw up.
That's the league now.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. That's all your mid-round rookies and your undrafted guys and your, you know, an occasional, you know, veteran backup linebacker that's sprinkled in there. And, I mean, this is 8 games, Tom, and where it's just colossal blunder after blunder. I mean,
here's my thing. So last week you told Ty Montgomery to, field the ball. Did you say under no circumstances should you return this ball? I don't think they did.
I don't think they did either.
This week you're punting. I need to go back. What was the score when he did that? Was it 10-10 when
Tanyan
made that? Let me look it up here.
Here's the thing, and that was actually a really good key defensive stop.
Yes,
for
it
the
was.
Defense. You
it was
know,
a great stop.
They were going to get the ball. It wasn't going to be plus field position, but you know, at the 30-ish, you know, at their own end, and you give Tom Brady another 3 down. Now, granted, again, the defense made another stop after that, but it allowed for a longer punt.
Okay, it was 17-17.
Yeah.
And it's 4th and 21.
Yeah.
Tremont, they're punting from their own 27, and Tremont is at his own 31.
And got a little 8-yard
why
return.
Are you going for the block?
Yeah.
With a rookie at that. I mean, he was free. The scheme was good. If you look at it,
yeah.
he had a straight run. But as McCarthy said today, he's kind of new to the job.
Yeah.
Well, then don't do it. I mean, this is the kind of stuff you have to be – this is the kind of thing that wins and loses games.
Yeah.
You know?
And it changed, you know, you flip field position. You know, the offense actually moved, right? That was when they started at their own 7 then.
After that drive?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then that's how it ended with
right.
the fumble. So,
that's right.
I mean, you go from starting at your own 38 with a chance to go up to having to start at your 7.
Right, right.
You know, and, you know, I mentioned the Jones offside. There's a 38-yard Patterson return to start
yep.
the game. I mean, so, yeah, New England, no huddle, quick strike, all that stuff. But they're also starting at, you know, their own 40 or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just go back. You know, I don't put Mason Crosby's issues in Detroit on the special teams coach. But,
no.
You know.
But there was a, you know, again, Josh Jones, penalty on a holding on that,
yeah.
on Montgomery's long return.
Right.
What are you teaching that guy?
Yeah, Tony Brown pushing a guy
yes.
out of bounds. There was another on a Montgomery return. I mean, you can go back. Aside from the punt block touchdown against Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
you can't name a positive special teams play. No long returns,
mm-mm.
no touchdowns,
mm-mm.
no explosive plays, penalty after penalty.
Breland as the kick returner was a bust.
Yeah, it didn't really work.
He returned 2 for 43 yards. I don't know who you were going to put back there, but I, you know, if they don't start getting Trevor Davis, I mean, Trevor Davis is, he's like the, I hate to say it, but he's their last chance to turn their special teams around. And, you know, that's asking a lot, but they got to have someone back there who can score, because they're not good enough to win on offense and defense alone.
Yeah, we'll know this week, right, Tom? I mean, if he's going to be ready to go, he
yeah.
needs to start practicing,
right? Right, yes, this week, yeah.
So I know he's not eligible to play.
No.
But, I mean, if you to get him a short week into
yes.
Seattle,
yeah.
he needs to practice this week.
And
right?
you know what? I think I would practice Kumerow too. I think I'd put Allison on IR and I'd bring up Kumerow as well.
So just end Allison's season.
Yeah, I mean, so I looked it up, and Demarius Randall had this injury 2 years ago. It took him, he was out for 4 games. Probably wasn't himself for 6. So you're talking about Allison for 4. Do you want to just put him away? I don't know how serious it is and what the time frame is.
If you have surgery, that's pretty serious.
It is, but this guy, William Meyer, this guy has dealt with a lot of Packers, and you know, he's the king of groin surgery, of hernia surgery. And they get you going right away. I mean, as soon as you have the surgery, they have you moving constantly, you know? And so the recovery seems to be fairly quick. Greg Jennings had this injury in, oh boy, I'd have to go back and look and see what year it was. I'll try to go back and see how quickly he came back. But I think you can come back in a month or so. So there's your question. Do you bring Kumerow back, or do you
right,
put Allison on IR?
Right. You know, and I mean, I guess, because he would be inactive, and that's just, so essentially, is it Jake Kumerow or Jamon Moore? Is that really, so if you put Allison on IR, you end, and you practice Kumerow, you end Allison's season.
Right. He's done.
Or do you just say, well, Jamon Moore's better than Jake Kumerow, and Allison's inactive? you know, he's just sitting there until we think.
Right. That could be your option.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, but
or do you say Trevor Davis is going to be your extra wide
receiver? To your point, I mean, this is what this offense and special teams has come down to in week 9. We're talking about Jay Kumerow and Trevor Davis making an impact?
Yeah.
I mean, that speaks to the much broader issues that this offense is having.
Yeah. Trevor Davis, for all he screwed up last year, you know, he basically won them that Cleveland game with this long punt return when everything looked bleak, you know. And I mean, Davante Adams really won the game, but Trevor Davis got them back in the game. And going up to Seattle and Minnesota on turf, I think you got to have some option of a guy. And if he screws up, he screws up, because you're going to lose anyways.
Because at this point, there's mistakes all over the place anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether it be on special teams or whether it be, you know, Equanimeous St. Brown and MVS still trying to find their way and be in the right spots for the quarterback. You're already dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. You might as well do it fast.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to screw it up with speed.
I agree. And, you know, maybe you bring Kumerow and Davis back, and you have to figure out somewhere else where you cut thin. I mean, that's a lot of wide receivers to have on the team, but I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I'm looking at the roster now. Who can they afford? I mean, they didn't play Corey Toomer.
Yeah, he's been inactive the last couple weeks.
I actually like him, and I think he could actually help them, but I'm not sure why they don't like him.
I think it seems like he's more of that sort of extra insurance. Now with Blake Martinez, we'll have to see, you know, how his ankle responds after a week. So
yeah, you can't cut him though.
You know, your Antonio Morrison, I thought, played probably his best game.
He did.
He
did.
In a lot of big ways. You know, you're down at corner.
You can't go with two running backs, I don't think. No, you can't. I don't think you can, you know, cut Trey Carson. You could cut a quarterback.
Right.
You could cut Kaiser and go with Boyle. Nobody's going to pick him up. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but you got to find – I think if you're Gutekunst at this point, you got to try everything to save your season. And I'm not – I don't know much about Bruce Irvin, and all fans, as soon as they see a name, they want him to be signed. But I think they got to look into it and at least consider it. You know, I remember actually the year that the Packers won the Super Bowl in 2010. Ted Thompson pulled a few guys off the street who helped them win some games. And, you know, they were special teams guys. But Howard Green came in and was actually a Super Bowl hero. So he may have to start doing that and stop, you know, get some guys in who can possibly help you right now. I don't know.
Yeah, at the very least, see if they have anything left in terms of a burst. I mean, you know, we've said Nick Perry and Clay Matthews' names about as often as the PA announcer said the last couple weeks.
Yeah, yeah, and McCarthy says Monday that Nick Perry's still coming back from his ankle injury. I mean, I know he re-aggravated it, but holy cow. And I still don't – I got to ask Patton about this, but they had several goal line plays where they had Kyler Fackrell on the field on the goal line. And wouldn't you have Nick Perry in there? He's your best run-defending linebacker.
Yeah.
He's like a defensive end. I didn't understand that. I could go on. I could go on and on and on. But
we didn't even get to Aaron Jones, your favorite podcast
topic. I know. Well, I'm gonna pretend that didn't happen, because Aaron Jones is my BFF, you know. He's my bro. Hey, I mean, the guy's going to make a mistake. It's his first fumble of his career. it wasn't like he was sloppy with the ball.
No, that was I honestly, that was a hell of a play by Lawrence Guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Jason
Former
Spriggs,
Packer draft pick, by the way.
Yeah, I think Jason Spriggs said it best. He said, look, he told me, he goes, at some point that guy should have been blocked.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, is everything perfect? No, Lawrence Guy is running, what, 15 yards the other way?
Mm-hmm.
Backside pursuit. I mean, that's a Patriots hustle play, but so, I, you know, you don't really blame the kid for that one. But 14 carries. Career high, though, Tom.
Yeah.
5.5 yards.
Was that
a
career high?
Well, season high, at least.
Season high, yeah.
Season high.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, he only averaged 5.4 yards a carry. He's really slacking.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of, for the season, he's averaging, he's down to 6.0 from 6.2.
Yeah.
So you probably want to ignore him some more. Packers are averaging 4.8 yards per carry. I mean, some of that's Rodgers, I guess, but still, you know.
Yeah, it is. I tweeted out after he had that big burst in the red zone down to the goal line. I said Aaron Jones could solve some red zone woes, and then they proceeded to throw it three consecutive times.
Exactly. Yeah, that's kind of the world we live in, as I like to say. Anything else we need to do? We got a lot to address later in the week. We'll know more about the roster positions. We'll have more second guessing to do.
Yeah, I guess I'll leave it at this, Tom, mm-hmm. that I'm curious about. Because this was a theme I had that I spoke often about when the Bengals teams of the last 2 years were right where the Packers are,
mm-hmm.
middling, losing the teams they shouldn't, better teams beat them.
Right.
And, of course, it all goes to coaching. Mm-hmm. The long-tenured head coach, out of touch, lost the team, doesn't – they. At the end of the day, though, the play, someone's got to make a throw, make a block, make a catch, make a tackle.
Yeah.
And as you kind of said it, you know, Aaron Rodgers can't be absolved. I mean, is some of this, too, some guys just aren't making the play?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to just speak specifically in New England. You know, I'm just saying generally. Four losses, one tie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's always going to be a fall guy in it. You know, maybe at the end of the year it is coaches yet again. But I do wonder at some point that we've mentioned it with some Nick Perry and some of these other guys, like, you know, make a play.
Yeah.
Catch a ball.
Yep.
Don't fall over. Complete a pass. Like, you know, I mean.
Get in the end zone.
Yeah, it's just – I don't know. I guess that's why I'm curious where this is at. Is it all beyond the field, or some of this really high-paid, high-drafted talent just not as talented as we thought, they thought, league is? I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know.
I don't
it's
either.
Just something I'm thinking about, you know?
Yeah, and I think maybe on Thursday we should consider examining just McCarthy and Rodgers and what's going on there, you know, because it's something's off, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Rodgers isn't playing that well, and McCarthy's offense isn't that going that good, so we shall see. All right, well, we're both ready to pass out from exhaustion, so I hope everybody enjoyed this. And don't forget, at Potawatomi Casino, Thursdays at Potawatomi, you can win a Caribbean cruise during the Island Time giveaway this October and November. More at paysbig.com. And I want to give you a hint that soon, I think in the next 2 weeks maybe, Mr. Leroy Butler and I will be doing one of our segments, actually four segments from of five questions in X's and O at the Fire Pit Lounge at Potawatomi. And it'll be filmed live there, and you'll be able to come and get autographs from Leroy. I don't give autographs.
No, I was about to say, who wants his autograph?
Yeah, I mean, I charge too much, so you know, you won't. Probably won't be able to get
mine. I may
mine.
Show up in disguise and ask questions.
You'll be able to. There will be questions from the audience.
Yeah.
Just don't embarrass me, Jim, okay?
Yeah. Well, the live bloggers don't seem to like me at halftime.
Oh, pff, you think they don't like you? Holy cow. We gotta do a podcast where I read all the nasty things people say to me on the blog.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun? We should do that
like
sometime.
Reading mean tweets?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's pretty damn funny.
Yeah,
I've had to boot a few people off the. You guys don't know this, you blog posters, but I can kick you off for the whole day. You can try to come back on with a different name, but it won't work. It's called the Global Block, and I only pull it out once in a while. So, anyway, you got me going here, and it's time for us to wrap this up. So, I'm going to start the music, and we will talk to you on Friday morning.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Okay. Have a good week, everybody. Bye-bye.